I'd spent the last 11 years being a professional mothering machine. I'd caught more vomit with my bare hands than you could believe, and cleaned up poop from places that poop should never touch. My jokes were hilarious to three-year-olds, and going potty was a frequent topic of discussion. When I left my abusive husband, I became a single mother of four with no clue about what was cool anymore. I just knew that I didn't want to be alone forever. But dating and being sexy was not a part of my repertoire like diapering and learning the ABCs had been. I wasn't sure what I was looking for, but I knew what I would never go back to. My friend Katie set me up on a date with a man who is several years older than me. Suddenly, I was like a teenager again, hoping he would like me and worrying about what to wear. I met him at an Italian restaurant and dove into a political discussion. After making a great point, I had forgotten about his age and shouted, "Mic drop, boom!" And then I started laughing uncontrollably, like to the point of maybe snorting or peeing my pants. He just stared at me. Despite that first failure, dating again let me see my own worth. I started to think that perhaps I really was pretty and smart, and I started to tap into what being a woman was once again. And it was really fun until I got my first pic. That was That was followed by not one or two, but 10 more. I kept putting myself out there because if women gave up on dating every time a man flashed his privates, we'd all be single. Another friend, Amanda, set me up with a single dad who is figuring out this new dating world just like I was. As per my rules for a first date, we met at the restaurant for dinner, and I had tucked a small dagger into my belt like I always did when meeting a stranger, just in case. The date started well enough. He showed me pictures of his kids and told me about his awful divorce. I was starting to feel sorry for him until he showed me his penis. Right in the middle of our conversation, in the middle of the restaurant, he unzipped his pants and whipped it out. He went from talking about fatherhood to fetishes. He described his love of feet and started listing his favorite websites. My jaw dropped, and I couldn't stop laughing. Surely this could not be real. When he offered to pay for dinner, I didn't put up a fight. Determined not to die alone, I went on another date set up by another friend. We had spent some time talking over the phone and FaceTiming, so I felt like I knew him a little better before meeting in person. We went out to dinner and everything seemed fine until he took out his phone. He'd gotten a message from his brother, and whatever it had said sent him over the edge. My date told me exactly how he was going to shoot his brother in the face once he was back in their home state. I excused myself to the bathroom and seriously considered escaping through the back door of the restaurant. So I decided to get a hold of my brother instead. "Elliot," I said into the phone, "remember all those times that I'd pick on you when we were little kids? Yeah, I'm really sorry about that. And can you please come get me?" And he did. He gave me an escape plan by meeting me at another restaurant down the street. We lamented our love lives over college basketball and a couple blue moons. It wasn't all bad. In fact, I'd been on some good dates where there were no murder plots or penises. But as soon as I'd mentioned my four kids, they got the heck out of Dodge. One guy had the audacity to tell me, "I really like you, and you look just like Lisa Loeb. You're a perfect 10, but honey, I just don't want four more kids." Motherhood, my area of expertise, was the dating kiss of death. After that string of failed setups, I signed up for Match.com as the last stop before resigning myself to singlehood permanently. I uploaded a bunch of pictures of myself and I filled out my dating profile, specifically stating I was James Franco looking for my Seth Rogen. I still had to wade through dick pics, offers for hookups, even an invitation to join an androgynous relationship. But then, something amazing happened. I met Brandon. I sent him a message saying, good morning, on Match.com. And we talked nonstop until we met in person a few weeks later. We discussed every topic possible, ranging from our deepest secrets to what we were planning to have for dinner. On our first time meeting in person, he came right up to me and gave me a huge hug. I realized suddenly I'd never felt more at home in someone's arms like I did in his. Over dinner, I warned him that I was ambitious and full of a love for life. I had put my dreams on hold for too long, and now I had every intention of making them come true. I was going to be a novelist, and nothing was going to stand in my way. I sat there waiting for those visible signs of flinching like I'd seen in other lesser men. But Brandon leaned in and said that he wanted to help me have the life that I deserved. And in that moment, I knew I wanted to do the same for him. The more we talked, the more we discovered how very much we had in common. We both had been missionaries overseas, and both had left these uber-strict church organizations that were practically cults. We had both been hospitalized for blood clots almost at the exact same time, just me in Sioux City and him in Omaha. We had both survived abusive relationships. He hadn't endured the physical attacks like I had, but just like me, for too long, he had been emotionally torn down and degraded, enduring the same years of verbal abuse. We instantly connected over our journeys of healing. And when it came to my kids, the one thing in my life that consistently sent my dates running for the door, once again, Brandon leaned in. He wanted a big family, which clearly, with four kids already, I could provide. I had found the Seth Rogen to my James Franco, and Brandon thought so too. We took a big risk on living and loving again. We eloped 4 months later and welcomed our son into the world on the 1 year anniversary of our first time meeting in person. Our household is a constant whirlwind of sleepless nights with a fussy baby, helping with homework, and reading bedtime stories. But parenting five kids with my soulmate has been one of my greatest adventures, just as much as cheering each other on to achieve our dreams. I risked it all on Brandon, just as he did with me. Now, after being together for a couple years, I'm still so grateful for every day that I wake up to Brandon's bright blue eyes, to him saying, good morning, gorgeous, and to him showing me his big heart.
Jenny Bullington shared her story at Odes Live Storytelling event last month. The theme was risk. Join us on Wednesdays to hear more. Next week.
I heard someone yell, the car's on fire, get him out. The real race for my life began that day.
Ode is a storytelling series where community members tell true stories on stage to promote positive impact through empathy. It's produced by Siouxland Public Media. Our next show is Friday, April 6th at the Marquee in downtown Sioux City. The theme is Just Keep Going, and it's inspired by this year's One Book, One Siouxland selection, Hidden Figures. Tickets are available at kwit.org. You can also listen to past stories online and learn more about Ode on Facebook. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Ellie Carson.
He's got 500 nautical miles to forget that smile. So he's looking at the stars to get by for a while. Captain says they'll be sure by the morning light. And the sunlight will be the key to unlocking the memory that he will see. For he left his love, sat in lonely solo. The altar with promises unkept, and he never can forget. No, he never can forget. The midnight air ingrains a blow through a boy. He's already beaten shame. So now he's standing there in that midnight salty air, wishing he could brush back her hair, brush back her hair. know there's no shame in being afraid. But this man promised bravery to another name, to another name. So he'll be using nautical miles to forget those lies. A promise, noble action in good time. But that sun is now arising on that distant horizon. The pain of regret is settling in his bones. He looks towards that shore alone. But oh, he knows she's standing alone. The approaching shore in grain. Blow through a boy's already beaten shame. So now he's standing there in this midnight shorty air. He has everything to fear, everything to fear, everything to fear. What did he gain? Thought that would ruminate for the rest of his days. So he'll be using nautical miles to forget those miles. He'll be using nautical miles to forget those lies. And he'll be using nautical miles to forget those eyes. He'll be sailing for a while, sailing for a while, sailing for a while. He'll be sailing for a while, 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 sailing for a while.